Good morning, friends. Let's take a moment and pray for God to illuminate our reading of Scripture. Come, Holy Spirit, source of all life, as we hear again the story of the palms. As we look ahead to the Passion, let the same mind be in us that was in Christ, who was a servant that we might be free. Awaken our ears, open our hearts, and sustain the weary with your word. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. It can be found on page 854 of your pew Bible. Let's listen for God's word to us today. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This has been the word of the Lord.
Some of you know that a little over a decade ago, I began to suffer from sciatica and from lower back pain. And my doctor at the time prescribed for me what? Physical therapy. And so for that period of time that would last for many months from that point, I would head over to Landmark Physical Therapy right over on Walnut, not far from Lake Avenue. There I met Jennifer and Natalie, who I would learn were my physical therapists. Jennifer would spend the first half of each of my sessions doing manual physical therapy. I would lay on the physical therapy bed while she would do work on my muscles with her hands. Then I would head over to another area of Landmark where I would work with Natalie on strengthening and stretching exercises, many of which, Robin, you'll be happy to know, I still do today. Well, what I found fascinating about my time of physical therapy was that each week I would go, willingly go, over to Landmark Physical Therapy where I knew great pain awaited. Each time I went in, I would see Jennifer, and she would do what I later learned was called soft tissue mobilization. I would joke with Jennifer that this was torture. She would explore with her hands along my sciatic nerve and lower back, looking for areas of particular sensitivity for what she would call scar tissue. And when she found such an area, she would then apply direct pressure. Lord have mercy, did this hurt? Sometimes tears would stream down my eyes. And at first, you know, confused and baffled as I was, I would say, "Oh, that hurts." And I would expect her to then, oh, I don't know, stop. And in my defense, right over by Landmark, I mean, my dentist's office was in that office complex as well. And when I went to my dentist, Mack and Klieger, to receive, say, a dental procedure, he would even have me raise my hand if it hurt. And that meant, okay, the dentist now does something different. They either increase the pain medication or ease what they were doing, that somehow they would bring about a change because pain was not something you wanted. Well, I was confused then because I assumed when Jennifer was applying this pressure that if it caused pain, that meant she should stop. So I'd say, oh, that hurts. And she said in a very caring voice and compassionate demeanor, you know, if you can stand the pain, this is actually a way ultimately to ease it. She would describe it as helping to break up the scar tissue, restoring normal texture to the tissue, helping ultimately to relax the contracted muscles. And Natalie, when she worked with me on strengthening and stretching exercises, while it was not nearly as painful, it was still this idea of look for where the area of weakness is, the area of soreness is, and let's work there. Let's work on that. Fascinating. Isn't it? I thought to myself, tears streaming down my eyes, that each week I would go into Landmark Physical Therapy knowing that a world of pain awaited, and I would do it week after week because I knew therein lay my healing. It's why we go to see therapists, isn't it? For mental illness, for healing when it comes to psychological distress. Yes, it may take us directly into painful experiences, painful memories, painful stuff going back to childhood, but we believe therein can lie to our healing. I thought about that, of those weekly visits to Landmark, and my initial confusion that someone would not go away from places of pain, but press in, go into those places week after week. And it made me sympathize with the disciples in Luke's gospel as they learn of Jesus' plans to go in to Jerusalem. Jesus tells his disciples in the chapter just before today's passage that he will be going up to Jerusalem, that he will be going in to Jerusalem walls, into the city. And then Jesus says there he would be mocked, tortured, and killed. And after hearing this, we read in Luke's gospel that the disciples, quote, understood nothing about all these things Jesus had told them. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. Well, friends, I'm with the disciples on this one. That would be baffling. What in the world is Jesus talking about? He states clearly and unreservedly, Jerusalem is a place where the Son of Man, that promised figure from the book of Daniel with whom Jesus identified himself, would be, and I quote, mocked, insulted, spat upon, flogged, and then killed. Going into Jerusalem would bring all that pain, knowing that. Why in the world did he go intentionally, meaningfully, prayerfully? Why would he go into the city's walls and even into the temple, that city's very heart, the heart of God's people, and there speak with prophetic power, challenging the folks there, if he knew a world of pain awaited? And the answer, of course, was that Jerusalem was precisely the place in that greater body of the ancient people of God where healing was needed. It was the place of pain and the place that needed God's healing touch. Jerusalem. It was right at the heart of God's people's problems and their pain. It was the symbolic center of God's people, that city of Zion. And so it was there Jesus chose to go. There he chose to apply that direct prophetic pressure. There where, yes, a world of pain awaited, but so did a people's healing. And Jesus, we learn from the start of Luke, was all about healing. In his first public pronouncement, you remember in the synagogue in Nazareth, quoting Isaiah the prophet, Jesus stated that he'd come to bring sight to the blind, freedom to the captive, liberation to the oppressed. Jesus came, we read in Luke, to bring healing to our physical bodies, as one would touching a blind man's eyes and bringing healing to his sight. Jesus came to bring healing to our social and political bodies, freeing the oppressed and the captive and bringing about peace and justice. If you want to bring healing, well, you don't go away from the places of injury and illness. You don't run from those places where sin and disease have infected the body. Not if you've got a physician or a therapist mindset. You go there. You go in because there you can provide healing. There you go into the heart of the problem. You find those places where people in authority might be misleading the people, practicing injustice, turning from God, or succumbing to sin. And you go not away from such places. No, you go in. You go in. There's a great scene about going in from a movie I grew up on, and maybe some of you did also. You've probably seen the film, The Empire Strikes Back. For me, it's far and away the best of the Star Wars films. And there's a scene in that film where Luke Skywalker is getting trained by the Jedi Master Yoda in the swamps of a planet called Dagobah. Luke has Yoda strapped to his back as he climbs up vines and jumps over roots and races through a heavy ground fog. And then after questioning Yoda about the dark side of the Force, Luke rests Yoda on the ground and he turns to see a dark and sinister cave. And you remember Luke says, "There's something not right here. I feel cold, death." Yoda says that place is strong with the dark side of the Force, a domain of evil it is. Then you remember what he says after that? Yoda says, "In you must go. In you must go. Pain and evil, cold, death may lie in there, but if your vocation, if your purpose, if your soul's healing lies there, then in you must go." I think of this notion of going in, into the places of pain, into those spots of suffering, when I think of my brother Chris arriving at Columbine High School on an April day in 1999. Some of you know my brother Chris at that time was working as director of emergency medicine at Denver General Hospital. And on April 20th that year, he received a call alerting him that there was a mass trauma event at a local high school, and he was asked, "Would you be available and open to heading and addressing this?" Well, my brother's an emergency room physician, and like my father and grandfather and uncle and a number of my cousins who are physicians, like my mom, who is an RN and who has taught nursing over at San Diego State University, my brother's vocation is one of serving as a vessel of healing. And if he could be a part of bringing healing where it was most needed, well, that was what he wanted to do. So imagine, as other people were fleeing a school shooting and the horrific aftermath of that, my brother and his team and other physicians were trying desperately, waiting outside the high school until the SWAT team said it was okay to go in. Why? Why would you go in when such horrors awaited? You go in because that's where you can be a force of healing. That's where you can be part of a hopeful solution, especially after a world of pain has taken place right there. I think of those going to Bucha today, into that place where such atrocities have taken place. And why in the world would Ukrainians or aid workers go when such horrors awaited? Why wouldn't you stay far away? Because survivors are there too, and you care about your city and your country. And if you can bring an ounce of healing and love there, that's where you go. You go in. You go in because there your soul and your people's soul and the world's collective soul might find healing, even if it's a place of pain. Jesus had so many reasons to run from Jerusalem. Many chapters earlier in Luke, Jesus had lamented over the city, saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." And he knew the story of Zechariah the prophet as it's told in 2 Chronicles. You might remember that story of how Zechariah spoke to the people and said, "Why do you in Jerusalem disobey the Lord's commands? You will not prosper because you've forsaken the Lord. He will forsake you." And you remember what happened to him, right? The people rose up against him. The king rose up against him, and he was stoned in the courtyard of the Jerusalem temple. Jesus knew the story of Uriah, who prophesied, as Jeremiah had before him, to the powers that be in Jerusalem. King Jehoiakim had Uriah struck down in the sword, we read in Jeremiah. In Jesus' day, he had known the death of a prophet that had baptized him in the Jordan River, a prophet named John the Baptist. Jesus knew well what awaited him in Jerusalem, that place right in ancient Israel's heart. So why did he go in? He makes it clear in his lament for Jerusalem back in chapter 13 how often he had said, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus went into Jerusalem, we read, in love. In that love that desires to gather a dispersed people together, a love that desires a people stricken with sin might know healing. He went in with a love that would offer forgiveness, new life, challenge what is wrong, bring in what is good, and have a people individually and collectively know restoration and new life. Christ yearned to heal in love, and to do that, you've got to go in. But he also predicted this, that after all the horrors that awaited him, he said on the third day, he would rise. Death and rising, pain and renewal, confronting evil, facing the consequences, and then seeing after death a new day that follows. All that was part of the journey for Jesus of going in. Well, this is a time in history when we're acutely aware of the pain of the world, the injury of the world as the war in Ukraine drags on, and the death toll of COVID-19 in this country alone nears 1 million people. The pain of our day can feel immense. Sometimes, don't you just feel overwhelmed with its weight? We speak of personal sin, too, as Christians, and social sin. We speak of the ravages not only of disease and natural disaster, but of sin and how it shows itself in our lives, in covetousness and idolatry of wealth and power, infidelity, dishonor of our parents, failure to love God and neighbors. We speak of social sins like racism, environmental destruction, and the dehumanization of immigrants, and the pain and evil of the world can feel at times like too much to bear, too great a disease to hope to have healed. And so, thank heaven, friends, for Palm Sunday. Thank heaven for a day to remember and celebrate and savor Jesus' glorious act of going in. For in that act, in the story we read about in today's passage, we see entering into all the pain, the tragedy, the evil of the world, one with healing in his wings. In the city where conquering kings and generals had entered on war horses and then gone to offer sacrifices at the temple, Jesus, we read, enters in on a humble mount, the mount of a colt, the foal of a donkey, and then he goes to cleanse the temple. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem and his followers throw cloaks on the ground as you would do for a king, it was like the words of the prophet Zechariah was coming to life. "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus enters in not to seize power or rule with an iron rod. He enters in humility and nonviolent love. He enters like a therapist or physician longing to bring healing to that space at the center of God's people. He goes in with shouts of joy, celebrating the amazing works God had done in Christ, healing people who are sick, welcoming tax collectors and sinners. Why did Jesus do that? He explained, because only those who are sick have need of a physician. On that blessed day that we remember today, Palm Sunday, people see not just the pain of Jerusalem, not just the sin in so many of its leaders at that time, but they see a new kingdom breaking in to its walls, breaking into the very heart of the ancient people of God. It was that kingdom where justice and peace prevail, that kingdom where healing and humility and liberation prevailed, where all creation, even the rocks and stones, joined the chorus. You recall how when Jesus was born, there was an angel chorus that sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all those whom God favors." Now, on Palm Sunday in today's passage, we see how the disciples bring up that glorious chorus again, and they say together, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." For that day at least, for that day, someone could simply say, "The Lord has need of it," and a colt would be given for the disciples to use. On that day, God's will really was done on earth as it is done in heaven. On that day, a new king, a new realm had entered earth, entered into the heart of the ancient people of God in Jerusalem to bring healing. Well, this Thursday night, we'll recall our Lord's Last Supper, his betrayal and his death. And then this Friday at the Stations of the Cross event, we'll recall those last days of our Lord's life and his crucifixion. We'll remember the pain and the suffering he embraced. But today, Palm Sunday, we celebrate and we remember too why Jesus went to that cross. We remember why he suffered, why he went in. He went in that we might know healing, that we who join with him in faith might die with him and rise with him to new life. He went in that our bodies, our physical bodies, the social and political bodies of which we're a part, might all be visited with love and with justice and by a kingdom higher than any earth we humans might build. Today we celebrate that right into the pain of that broken world, of this broken and hurting world, rode in a humble and loving Savior to heal. And into those places of pain and evil, he still goes today. And he presses. And in his resurrection, Christ points ahead to that great day. Every tear will finally be wiped away, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So yes, there's much to lament today, and let us lament with Christ. Let us with him weep over our world and over the pain he saw then and we see today. Let us dare go to those painful points in ourselves and our church and our community and our world, but let us go knowing that a power has come to us and to this world. Let's go clinging to a love strong enough to even conquer death, greater than any evil or suffering we can know. Let's dare confront pain and evil, but let's also wave our palm branches, throw down our cloaks, and welcome our King with joy. For into this world of hurt came healing, and it had a name, Jesus the Christ. And in his name, may we go to the hurting places of our world as vessels of healing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.